Mr. Ver, Real 4. Did you get your uniform immediately on arrival?
I think we got it the following day. I think it was the following day because we had to go to the tailors. The tailors took and measured us. Because I took different size jacket to the charges. We've got short legs and long arms. So the size 6 charges, size 7 jacket, I think it was. But then they had to go to the tailors and they sort of titivated them up.
So initially you were given the uniform? Initially?
Your denims. Yep. I think initially you got your denims, which were shapeless, so it didn't matter what they looked like. They were just dirty pale over arms. And then you went measure the uniform, but you got a uniform which they thought was your size, and then you saw the tailor. And they made any alterations.
So they passed it over to you as you went along collecting your various items of uniform. Is that the way?
Yeah. They give you what the thought would fit you. And then the tailor sort of, if there were any drastic alterations to them, they'd do it then. They'd see you yourself and the shoulder. If you have 6 ITC, a 6 room unit, 6.
What did they issue you with? Uniform.
You mean how many?
What did they actually give you as your uniform? The various items.
Well, you just got batteries about trousers and batteries.
Just one pair of each, was it? Or two?
Maybe two pairs. Two pair. Two.
Trousers.
The best one in the year used. Parade left that thing. And we did sort of Sunday best that you had church parades and something like that.
And yeah. Two pairs of boots, is it?
Two pairs of boots, yeah.
Underclothing of underwear?
I think you're two pairs of each. I think you're two pairs of three. Two underpants, the vest. The socks. Two pairs of socks. Two pairs of boots. Yeah.
What kind of a hat or cap did you have?
Forage cap. Everybody had those at that time. That one tanks.
Did it have a badge in?
Yes, it's KYLI.
The Coily badge.
Yeah. And KYLI shoulder.
Did you feel like soldiers when you put them on?
Yes, oh yeah. Well, I did. I I'm very proud, yeah.
What equipment did they give you?
Well, you got a full service marching order, really. A big pack, small pack, belt, of course, the straps, water bottle. Can't remember whether we got an intention to at that time or not. Don't think we did, actually.
Bayonet?
Well, bayonet, of course, yes.
Was that the long one? The long
one, yeah.
And these would have to be kept clean. How was that done?
What the equipment?
Equipment, yes.
Well, the it was all webbing equipment, of course, and you had to purchase the blocks of blanco. There again, keep changing the colour just to keep on your toes. One bit it'd be light green, and it'd be dark green, and you'd scrub it, or it'd be white, or I suppose that would keep me busy at night. You to keep the, as I say, your belt and brass buckle and two brass strips and your brass buckles at the back.
To clean the brasses, how was that done?
Well, of course, you had a button stick, which was a brass strip with a slot in it, which you could say behind your cap badge. So that you could take your cap badge out if you like, you could slide this behind and using brass, of course, polish your badge up. With your belt, you could strip it down, because the two brass strips which were there for tensioning, shortening, or lengthening it, it was rather awkward to get brass on those without getting it onto the belt, so in some cases they need to strip the belt to its full length. It was easy to get to those that way. The two buckles at the back, of course, you could, as I say, they were held across the bar of those with webbing, so you could set a bit of something around those so that you didn't get brass on the rest of your belt, and polish it up that way and brush it with your button brush. As I said, the rest of your gear was all webbing, including your outfits, gaiters, and they had to be scrubbed if they got really filthy, to scrub those and then apply the appropriate coloured block to them. Then let it dry enough that it didn't get marked before the parade next morning.
How do you keep your boots clean?
Your boots?
They would be pretty well dull when you got them, did you?
Oh, yeah, you have to bone those, what they call, bone them up with an old toothbrush handle. And maybe the old sweats show me how to do this, and you have to sort of scrape them apart with this handle, trying to get as much grease as you could out, and then apply boot polish. Let's say spitting polish, you have to spit on them and apply some boot polish and with a cloth and with a circular movement, keep going until and then do a bit more with the bone and a bit more polish until you've built a shine upon it, which took quite a bit of doing at first, and then it was trying to keep it up then after that. I mean, it was much easier once you got it done, but as I say, then they decided they wanted you to have them all good in, and all your work was undone again.
You must spend a great deal of time on Army Bull.
Well, you did, yes, you did. These things you've got for your blanket, you sew them on yourself. And everybody out handy with a needle and cotton, aren't they? Especially the lads. And so it was quite a feat at times. Your housewife, which we call it the housewife, which was a little cotton strip with a bag at one end, in which all your sewing material was kept. Your needles and your cotton and all that sort of thing. Odd days you'd get, if it was absolutely terrible weather outside, you'd probably get the day off for, what do you used to call it? Make and mend. That meant to say, like, you have to be lying on your bed, you have to catch up with all your mending and your sewing and all that sort of thing. And then your stockings.
The first drills that you were taught, what were they?
The first drills were mainly just the foot drill. The staff that we had there, the Lance Corporal was God sort of thing to us at that time. He'd been and had training at the Guards Depot on foot drill. And the chap that used to do the demonstration for you, and then you used to do it, you're the sergeant, of course. You're the squad sergeant, of course, that one. Charge your squad.
Did your squad have a name or a number?
I think it was just the intake number. Intake number, whatever, 20.
Do you recall the names of the Lance Corporal and the Sergeant that you had?
No, can't. I'm very bad on names, actually. No, can't. I know the Sergeant was an old sweat. He did an old reservist that had been called back.
Demonstrated you the move and you had to follow it.
They tell you, you start off by just standing at ease and then coming to attention for a starter. And then probably left turn, right turn. And this man's Corporal, he stood out in front and he'd demonstrate how you should do it. And then you keep on doing it until they thought you were something like that, and then they'd take you onto the next. Which might be, you might start marching with perhaps, and show you how to swing your arms, and all the then half turn, and you go from one stage to another, like that.
Corley's light infantry, was there a light infantry pace that you had to do this at? Or was it gradually built up to it?
No, it didn't really build up to it, no. We actually, he just did it. You just did it. You'd call the town after you. We'd call it town. You see, at the depot there, it wasn't a light infantry depot. It was there was also a West Yorkshire that were full of. But I watched Joe, they're full of. But there were still intakes coming in while I was there for the West Yorkshire regiment and the Lancashire Fusiliers. It was so they were drilling the ordinary heavy infantry drill. And of course we were light infantry. Of course we're separate from, we're all on the parade ground together, but we were doing our drill, they were doing theirs, which is totally different for us. Not just in pace but in everything else. We did everything from the standard ease position. When we stopped with the automatic stood at ease, you could be caught to sort of slow arms from the at ease position, whereas the others you were caught to attention first, you know. Which of course varied. I didn't know it varied, but it did vary even between light infantry and regiment. When I joined the drill, it was different too.
Did you do these drills to numbers?
Yes, I did. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1. Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah.
After having some proficiency with the drills, what was the next set of training that they passed on to you?
Well, you do gas.
What was that? How did now? What was that training?
Well, the training for that was really did you shout gas? This would just be getting your respirator out. Putting it on, that was incorporated with your drill though, because you certain days were made out of gas drills, and didn't matter what you were doing, you could be on the parade ground doing foot drill, and there's some shout gas, you have to put your respirator on, or you could do a bayonet patch or like that, and if you hadn't applied your anti what was it called, someone steaming up,
demister.
If you hadn't applied that. And you put it on, and you're still on, you're doing drill. Well, you didn't weigh in very then, because you were in trouble. That was gas, and then, of course, the test of your respirators through the gas chamber, which you could go on a run for a starter. It was a brick building, no windows, of course, or anything in it. And you had to run around quite a lot until you were out of breath. Make sure you're out of the panting, and then you went inside, and then they'd release from the CS or CVTA, CT, tear gas, and then you'd that would test your gas mask if you were. Then you'd push it to let some in to just let you see what it was really like, and then come out. Of course, you would probably sit for the day then, if it was CS that they used. I think it was CS, CSC. CACSCT or something. Well, they were gases that were supposed to make you sick. I think the idea was to send those over first so that you're too sick to put your respirator on when they sent the positive, you know, sort of thing. Although it used to make you, it used to be, you used to do that in the afternoon so that you could finish the parade. You didn't do it at morning, otherwise, I'd have to give you some time off another day. I did it later on through the day, so. But that was the gas. Then of course you did bayonet practice.
What was that?
Which was the usual sacks tied up, and you had to line up and give a blood curdling shriek and charge them, and they tell you where to stick it. The stomach and throat or groin and stomach, and you had to tie, get that part of the sack what you thought was a groin, and then pull out and charge on the next chap, come down, and as I said, that was the main practice mainly. Main thing was to shout, to frighten them, you see. That was the whole idea of that. Pimpcraft, of course, you learned pimpcraft, which was all at the depot.
What was that based on, fieldcraft?
Well, that was mainly based on movement. Movement without being seen, really.
Fire and movement, was it?
Well, fire and movement came into it, yes. Or creeping up on someone quietly, or without fighting. fireable, but was mainly if you were, say, supposedly attacking a position. And one section would get down the fire, and the other would try and move forward, get down the fire while the other section would move forward. The field craft were giving signals, silent signals, so, you know, gauging distances by using your 200 degrees from here to there, and 200 degrees
on your thumbs, your knuckles, fist.
From there to there would be certain distance or degrees. From there to there would be more, and so on, so the second knuckle and the third knuckle, that kind of thing. Then you have to sort of give descriptions correctly by clock-like, 3 o'clock, bushy top 3 o'clock, that sort of thing, describing where the target, that position would be changed. Okay, on the field craft.
So the training had moved on from First World War?
Oh yes, I don't think they envisaged, they weren't envisaging trench warfare, not that type of trench warfare.
And the lines marching forward?
Yes, it was more movement they were looking for. Which of course that's what they were looking for in the First World War, wasn't it? But they became bogged down. We dug, all the trenches we dug were slip trenches, that's how, which of course is what we used later.
Route marches, did you go on those?
Yes, we started off at the beginning of the depot, doing about 5 miles, and then it was gradually extended until we were doing about 30. So.
What would you carry with you on a route march?
You usually have your what they call field service fighting order, which was use your small pack, your water bottle, you made it, your pouches. At the depot, you didn't have ammunition. I mean, actually, when you were in action, you were carrying guns and magazines, but we didn't do it, or not on training. But you still had your equipment on, your small pack.
What would you have in your pack?
Just have your mess tins. Washing the towel, so that sort of thing.
Did you carry your own food with you on route marches?
No, usually a truck would go out and come out your meat, admit you, with jam sandwiches, something like that. Cheese, maybe, if you're lucky, cheese sandwich.
Did you have rests periodically?
You had a rest, about 10 minutes rest every hour, I think it was, when you lay down outside the road and put your feet up. I think that was it, about 10 minutes every hour.
What was the idea of putting your feet up above your head?
I think that was for the circulation to bring the blood back from your feet. I think that was it, to rest your feet a bit, maybe. Yeah. And then when you got back, you'd put rifle inspections then, which entailed inspecting your feet for blisters and that sort of thing.
If anyone dropped out, what would happen to them?
Well, you were really in trouble. You could be put on a charge then.
I think it's someone who was badly, whose feet were badly affected and had to drop out.
Well, probably tell you should look after your feet a bit better. I mean, most of them got blisters. I know you could have bad blisters, but probably tell you to wash your socks or something like that. Next time, wash them and take 7 days see me.
You didn't have a truck or some vehicle following, picking anyone up that did drop out?
No, not really. As I say, the route marches were pretty straightforward road marches. So it wasn't so strenuous. We're all glad to have much to enjoy.
Did you sing the songs of the day?
Yeah. Something you can't mention them, yeah.
Other
apps. That were some that you couldn't mention, like. But, they were all, I suppose, a lot of them, what they had from the First World, I suppose. They'd been passed down, like a lot of the language, like from the Indian Army. They're like all these old sergeants and that have been in the Indian Army. They use their expressions from the Indian Army. Yeah.
At what point were you given your rifle?
Well, I've given them all straight away.
And you'd then
do rifle drill the same.
Then you'd have rifle drill to drill, and basically the same system as the foot drill, was it, to numbers and so on?
Oh yes, you did it all to numbers, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1.
And keeping your rifle clean, how did you do that?
Well, you know, in the butt of your rifle, there was a little compartment with a little catch on the middle of it, in which was kept a little steel bottle of oil, and it pulled through, which is a length of cord with a couple of loops in at one end, and a weight at the other end. And you'd remove the bolt with your rifle, this was for cleaning the barrel, tilt it with the muzzle downwards, and drop this weight down the barrel, and you should also have some little strips of flannelette called 4x2, which was 4 inches wide, and if you turn them off, they were marked in strips, about 2 inch wide. You'd put one of these strips through one of the loops in the end of the pull through, with impregnated with oil, and draw that through. If you've been firing and you're particularly fouled up, used to boil, if you've been on the range, say, you'd pour boiling water down the barrel for starter, and then you'd follow it by, with the pull through, instead of just the flannelette, your piece of gauze which scoured the barrel or cleaned the barrel, followed by the pull through. And then, after you thought it was clean enough, you then oiled it on the barrel, and then replace the bolt, oil that, replace the bolt, and that was it. The wood worked, but of course you just keep that polished as well. Didn't polish it yet.
And it would be inspected regularly, was it?
Well, you get, yeah, you'd have to inspect it. If you had a dirty rifle, it would be trouble. Yeah. That was part of the deal, was bullet arms, examine arms, and that sort of thing. And of course, usually they didn't inspect them. Well, when you were doing that particular drill for examining arms, you were going down and looking down the barrel, and stick your thumb in with the reflector light from your thumbnail up the barrel, so that you see if it was dirty or not.
And an offence if it was dirty.
Oh, yeah, they're on the charge, yeah. Plus report with it clean. To the either to the corporal or that, yeah.
What time was Reveille?
I think it was 6.
What would you immediately do, obviously, after getting out of bed?
Immediately got out of bed, it was PT, physical training. You put your shorts on and you press from the outside of PT. This is a depot again, of course. And you'd have army physical training. The lads with the red and light district down, red and black stripe jerseys up there, just here. On physical training for that, and then half an hour, something like that. Then you're back, got washed, shaved, and then by that time, they'd be blowing breakfast.
Did you march down to breakfast or make your own way down?
I think we made our own way down.
What would be a typical army breakfast?
We didn't get porridge. We got put in there. We got cornflakes and all that. Just porridge. You could get the scrambled egg. No, we didn't get with fish. With smoked haddock. And this is a depot in there, the fish, which sticks out of your mouth because you don't get it that much. And bread and margarine and jet and that sort of thing.
Bacon, eggs, that kind of thing that come into it?
I think, yes, we did.
Sausage?
Yeah, we did. Because it's remembering the way you want it at the time. We did it there at the depot because it was quite a nice dining room, and it was run by the ATS, cooks and that sort of thing.
Was it a cafeteria system, or did you go and sit at tables? And
no, it was a cafeteria. We lined up and slushed out the plate. That was when you went found yourself a place to sat down. Yeah.
And presumably at the end of it all, you would go out and you'd need to wash your utensils. How was that done?
I think we went and did those in the ablutions.
Had you been issued with your plate as part of your equipment, or was that picked up? Wasn't a metal plate?
I'm just trying to think whether at the depot, whether we were supplied by plates. I think it was probably at the depot. We lined up and you took the plate with the food on, sat down, and then probably left your plate there. I'm thinking about probably later on when we wash.
What time would breakfast be?
Breakfast would probably be about 7 o'clock or something. We do PT, then we come back and then get washed, shaved, that sort of thing. Then it would be breakfast, be about 7 o'clock, till about half past or something. And the first parade would probably be 8 o'clock.
Immediately after breakfast you went into the first parade. And what did you do the rest of the morning, or typical morning? What would you be doing?
Well, it was like being at school. Your first session was foot drill, say, for the first hour. Then it might be medic practice for an hour. That'd take you to about half past 10. Then you'd come out with a bucket of cocoa or something like that. If you just did it, you'd have a break. And then you might do a bit of field camp, something like that. And then you'd come back then for your dinner.
What time would that be?
That would be about 12 o'clock. I think we've got about a couple of hours then. We've got like 12 to 2, I think, there at the depot.
What would be typical food for dinner?
Well, quite good. Quite good, actually. I can't particularly remember the stew or that sort of thing, potatoes and meat. Quite good.
Substantial.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And was it a dessert with it?
Yes, you got a dessert, a pudding, the custard and spotted dick or something like that, you know. You get a rissole, which mainly like corned beef, done always. Corned beef stew, corned beef hash, corned beef rissole, various ways. But you were substantially
in there to keep you working. After lunch in the afternoon, what might you be doing?
Well, you'd go lay on your bunk for a bit after your dinner. Until your next parade, and then you'd be back on parade at 2 o'clock, you see. And then you'd go along and do about 4.
Was that similar to the morning? Drills and what
similar
have you?
Similar to the morning. You might go to lectures or something like that. Different situation support on what Adam Wall was doing. Can't just remember exactly. Then we'd come back, say, about 4 o'clock. Then you'd come back again to the afternoon. This was all taking place in the depth, roundabout.
Yeah, the depth.
You won't be wrong there, except for the other parts. You know. And so you were more or less back for each few minutes. And 4 o'clock, you'd be back and be tea.
What would you get for tea? It was just a light meal.
It was more or less a light meal because we used to go to the nappy at night after us to get a good supper. Right,